The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, we stand at the threshold of another Christmas, the great celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior that we celebrate every year. It's Jesus' birthday. It's a time that we reflect upon the meaning of Christ in our lives, a time to ponder what it means for God Himself to have entered into the world as an infant, innocent, vulnerable, born not in a temple or a royal palace, but in a cave that was used to stable farm animals. It is a time to take hold and cherish the great promise of salvation that is offered to us because of this one holy night in the town of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And as we reenact that cold, starry night in our minds, when the multitude of angels filled the sky singing songs of joy, we know that the story is still unfolding. The story has not been fully told. There is more to come, and the fullness of the time is not complete. But the story will not be complete until our Lord and Savior returns with legions of angels to gather those whom He loves on the last day, the day of judgment. Although we do not know the time or the place, we are confident that this event will happen. As we dream of the day that we will be taken up into heaven, there is a nagging thought in the back of most of our minds. It is the coming of Christ into the individual heart, into our individual souls daily. God coming to us in the here and now. The development of a personal relationship with Jesus is perhaps one of the hardest things to grapple with that we think about. And of the three comings, this one really puts us out there, doesn't it? Now we have Christmas. It's a sure deal. It has already occurred, and we can see the known fruits of this event, of the Christ child, the church, the sacraments, and our salvation. Then there's the final judgment. It may happen tomorrow, but more likely it will occur somewhere in the future. And what will follow is unknown. And so it is this daily coming of Christ that causes the most concern. And it's not because we do not believe in the saving power of God. It is not because we deny the fact that God does love us and died for our sins on the cross. It is just that we often feel unworthy of the great transforming gifts of this inconceivable blessing that is offered to us each day. We are afraid of totally abandoning ourselves to God's care because of past trials and failures. We have all experienced the presence of Christ in our lives at one time or another. And we have also experienced time when God has hidden his face from us. Who of us have not felt the absence of God in times of hardship? And we have cried out, "Where are you?" These feelings of abandonment are often referred to as the dark night of the souls and are commonly described in the writings of many of our great saints and are predictable events in our own growth in holiness. Mother Teresa of Calcutta experienced the dark nights of the soul for over 40 years. And at one point she wrote that even the rewards of heaven seemed to be of little value. In today's gospel reading, St. Joseph experienced the same type of confusion and anxiety. For his beloved Mary was with child, and he was not the father. Joseph was obviously a good and kind and upright man whose world was shattered with the news of Mary's child. And her story of how she became pregnant was almost unbelievable. For whoever heard of such a story, even though he was more than likely aware of Isaiah's prophecy to King Ahaz. The prophecy that a virgin shall be with child and bear a son and shall be named Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Yet in the back of his mind, he could not believe that Mary, his betrothed, would have betrayed him. Not Mary, not the sweet, beautiful, innocent woman who brought great joy into his life after many years of living alone. Not Mary, who had stolen his heart at the first time that he had met her. Not Mary, whose voice was like that of an angel, who was filled with the love of God and for the love of him. How could something such as this have ever happened? No doubt was the cry of Joseph's heart. What had he done to be treated this way? And by his beloved. Had he committed some terrible sin that he was being punished for? And what would the people of Nazareth say when Mary began to show? Would they believe the story that she was carrying the Son of God? The Messiah? The long-awaited Messiah? No, they would carry her to the edge of town and stone her. A thought too gruesome to even consider. I imagine that as Joseph wrestled with this dilemma, he buried himself in his work, but found a little solace in his trade, because the hand of God was weighing heavily upon his heart. He no doubt felt like a sinking ship, a ship being thrashed about by a life-threatening storm, looking for a safe harbor. He could not turn to God, for God was the cause of the problem. And he could not turn to his friends or his family in fear that Mary would be exposed. He was a man that was truly alone as his life was crumbling around him. Therefore, after much thought and spiritual turmoil, he decided that it was best to quietly divorce Mary. This would save her life. But he had always lived a solitary life and had never opened his heart to anyone. Then this beautiful girl of 16 entered his life and stole his heart. Her face, her voice, her eyes penetrated to the very center of his being. He found missing parts of himself in her love. Their life together would have been a life beyond imagination. But yet he had to separate from the only person that truly had ever possessed his heart. They would have to part and pray that God would grant them the grace to begin again somewhere else. Then, in a dream, his old world was once more turned upside down. The angel of the Lord again appeared to him and told him that God wanted him to take Mary into his home as his wife. In this dream, God gave Mary back to him. He did not have to send Mary away and once more live alone. The raging water of his heart were now calm and as smooth as glass. He had found a safe harbor. The harbor was God's love for him and Mary's love for him. After he awakened from the dream, I imagine he laid on his bed for some time, tears streaming down his face and feeling that he had been reborn. God wanted Mary to be his wife, and the child she was carrying was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. As dawn began to show itself, Joseph, after playing the words of the angel over in his mind for the 100th time, began to take hold of the second part of the angel's message. You shall name the child Jesus, for he will save his people from sin. God the Father wanted him to be the earthly father of his son, the Messiah. And of course, we know the rest of the story too. And so with each turmoil in our life, with a resolution by God, comes strength, knowledge of who we are, gaining knowledge of our importance to God. Each of our trials tell us of the importance of having God at the center of our lives and our dependency upon him. With each trial, we become better and stronger disciples of Christ. God bless.